Chris Elphick is squishing his way across the wet bottom of a salt marsh, ignoring mosquitoes on an otherwise radiant morning.
We are at Barn Island Wildlife Management Area in Stonington.
Elphick is an ornithologist and professor of conservation biology and ecology at UConn. And for the last decade, he's been researching salt marshes and their birds.
Oh, there's a sparrow. It's just gone. It hopped up and it flew back down again. Sorry, that's the way it is.
The sparrow was a salt marsh sparrow. For the record, he saw it. I missed it. But with higher sea levels flooding salt marshes more often, seeing it may become even harder. There are about 30,000 salt marsh sparrows worldwide, about a quarter of them in Connecticut. They make their nests on the ground of high marsh that typically only floods monthly during lunar high tides, which gives them enough time to lay eggs and have their chicks leave the nest. But with evidence flooding is happening more often...
It's a cliche, but you know they're the canary in the salt marsh. They tell us something about what's going on in that entire system that will affect many of the other organisms in that system and will have repercussions for us too.
And so this little brown nondescript bird is one of the first so-called sentinels being studied as part of a bi-state sentinel monitoring project through the Long Island Sound Study. Juliana Barrett of Connecticut Sea Grant helped create the project.
The focus of which would be to figure out what are the sentinels of climate change, what indicators need to be measured to determine what is happening with climate change within this area, with an end goal of how can we better manage the resources of Long Island Sound to adapt to climate change.
Sarah Dionorine of the Department of Environmental Conservation in New York is the project leader on that side of the sound.
I think that a project like this is actually pretty imperative. We know that the whole planet is changing. It's hard to really say on a local level what is changing without long-term monitoring. So we need to know where we've been and where we're going.
Project organizers, including Dionorine and Barrett, initially had 37 sentinels, now combined into six key ones: finfish, lobster, phytoplankton, coastal forests, and the marsh birds and salt marshes Elphick is studying in about 150 locations. Older data, if it's available, will be combined with new data to see the before and after, so scientists can draw conclusions about what might change and when.
So we can just go over here and have a little look.
Elphick is seeing marsh grasses pushing into the forest areas, and trees around the edges are dying.
Dying is potentially an indicator of sea level rise, but I stress potentially because obviously, you know, trees die for other reasons.
To study the salt marshes, Elphick's team is looking for nests, puts temperature sensors in them, and checks them every few days.
Even relatively small changes in sea level rise, a few inches, is the difference between this marsh being suitable for them and this marsh being completely unsuitable for them.
But the birds may have nowhere to go. Marshes may not be able to move inland fast enough or may be blocked by infrastructure like roads. The outlook, says Elphick, is grim.
As sea level rise increases, we can expect the frequency of those very high tides to go up. And over time, that will lead to more and more nest failure. And eventually, unless we can do something about it, to the extinction of the species.
Elphick's estimate, unless something changes drastically, the salt marsh sparrow has at best a few decades of existence left. Jan Ellen Spiegel, WSHU News.